You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. It was a productive weekend for the Mets as they went into Miami and won another series, and more impressively, on Friday night, beat the best pitcher in baseball right now, Sandy Alcantara. I'll talk about that game and also Saturday night's win in the first segment today. In the second segment, we'll talk about the loss on Sunday, but how David Peterson fared really well, and really how the Mets' entire rotation fared well this weekend with three quality starts. I'll also give you an update on Max Scherzer and his return. And then we'll close the show today in our final segment talking about the Mets' bullpen. Adam Ottavino gives up a walk-off homer on Sunday. Who in that pen do you trust right now outside of Edwin Diaz? I'll tell you where my head's at later on. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. So the New York Mets had a tough task on Friday night. Go up against the best pitcher in baseball, Sandy Alcantara. And you look at what he had done up to that point. We've gone through the numbers. I've talked about his Cy Young case. I just mentioned just baseball. I wrote an article how he was the front runner to win the Cy Young a couple weeks ago. We actually had a great article that went up from one of our guys, Ethan Budowski, that really dives into the numbers on Alcantara after even that start against the Mets. And his ERA now, I think, is at 1.95 after giving up four earned runs. But what the Mets were able to do against him is something we haven't seen any team in baseball do over the past 2 months, really. This is a guy that had not given up a home run since May 1st. That was over 60 innings pitched without allowing a home run. And in the first inning, Francisco Lindor goes dead central and takes him out. So right away, the Mets are able to get something off him. It's almost like, I don't know if you guys are Rocky fans like I am. My Rocky fandom, very similar to my Mets fandom, passed on from my dad. When he's fighting the Russian, you know, in the fourth movie, and he finally draws blood. That's kind of what it was like when Lindor hit that home run. All right, the robot can bleed. He can get to him. And Mark Canha took him deep himself in the fifth inning. Now, the game ended up being tied at two runs apiece going into the top of the sixth. Taijuan Walker actually gave up runs following each of the runs the Mets scored. But then they rallied and put together, I mean, really the most impressive inning against Alcantara, because it was a whole team effort. You had Tomas Nito and Brandon Nimmo each single. Then there was this play that if you're a Marlins fan, I mean, you're just shaking your head because Starling Marte hits what could be a double play ball. If everything works out the way Williams Astudillo wanted, he would have fielded the ground ball, tagged Brandon Nimmo, thrown to first, and got Starling Marte out. Instead, Nimmo hits the deck, and Astudillo, it does this weird thing where he's trying to make the play, so he's trying to tag Nimmo, but he's already made the transfer, and he tags Nimmo with his glove hand with no ball in it, throws to first. The throw to first ended up being late. They replay reviewed it because the Mets had the best replay review guy in the business right now. The Buck Showalter has been talking about a lot, giving him a lot of credit. I apologize for not having his name on hand, but that was another instance where the Mets were able to have a huge win through the replay room. Both runners safe. Nimmo never tagged. Marte beats the throw. You end up with bases loaded for Francisco Lindor, and he doubles in everybody. And all of a sudden, the Mets have five runs against Alcantara, four of them earned. Just an incredible performance by the team. And Taijuan Walker, really solid as well through six innings. He had only allowed those two runs off seven hits, two walks, five strikeouts. In the top of the seventh, he goes out to face Jacob Stallings, gives up a leadoff single. Drew Smith then comes into the game. And Smith ends up basically walking in the run or the runner that Walker had allowed, which made it three earned runs for Taijuan. But still, his season ERA at 3.03. You look at him and David Peterson, who both pitched well this weekend. What they've given the Mets as the guys that were, you know, penciled in the five and the seven spot in the rotational depth chart going into spring training, it's been sensational. You could say the same thing if you want to add in Carlos Carrasco as well for someone that was supposed to be your fourth starter. You look at what happened from that point. You know, like I said, Drew Smith walks the world. He had three walks, two strikeouts, gave up that one run that gets credited to Walker. Adam Ottavino comes on, bails him out. So the guy that we're going to talk about later, who blew the game on Sunday, was critical on Friday, bridging the gap to Edwin Diaz, who picked up his 15th save on the season. Over his last eight starts before facing the Mets on Friday night, Sandy Alcantara was, or the Marlins, I should say, were 7-1 in his last eight starts. That was an incredible feat to win that game, and that's why you win the series. And you talk about the next game, same score, 5-3. Chris Bassitt, very good, gave up two home runs, one of them being a two-run shot. So those were the three runs that he allowed, but he still goes 7 in the game, giving the Mets length that they desperately needed. Allowed 6 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts. Pete Alonso was the MVP of Game 2 after, you could say, Lindor was the MVP of Game 1. Those two guys continue to be consistent and really carrying this team, particularly as run producers. And Alonso opened up the scoring in the second inning on Saturday with his 21st home run of the season. Then later on in the eighth inning, he broke a 3-3 tie with his 22nd home run of the season, both of them solo shots. Prior to that, in the fourth inning, the Mets scored a couple of runs. You had Mark Canha drove in a run on a ground down, Eduardo Escobar got an RBI base hit. So that was how the Mets got their first four. The fifth run was tacked on in the ninth. Brandon Nimmo had an RBI double. Edwin Diaz didn't need that insurance run, though. He was absolutely brilliant on Saturday, struck out the side in a perfect inning of relief. His 16th save after picking up the 15th the night before. And also a shout out to Seth Lugo, who had a scoreless eighth in that game as well. But when it comes to the Mets bullpen, they blew it on Sunday. Adam Ottavino did, although I'll talk about why I wouldn't overreact to it very much considering what he's been to the Mets lately. But I also want to talk in a minute here about David Peterson. I'll give you an update on Max Scherzer, kind of looking at where the starting rotation stands and also what happened in the final game as the Mets went for the sweep and came up just a tad short. But our next partner has a product that I literally use every day, and that is Athletic Greens. I was looking for a way to get more vitamins and nutrients in my diet, and I didn't really know where to look, what I should be taking, and then I found it all in one option with Athletic Greens, where with one delicious scoop in the morning and a cold glass of water, I'm absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that start my day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's why they have over 7,000 five-star reviews. That's why they're recommended by pro athletes. It costs you less than $3 a day. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of their immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. You can build the engagement ring of her dreams with Blue Nile as they have simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind, so you can celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry. Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Mets listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive does include engagement. All you have to do is use the code Locked On. Again, that's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. Seems like ever since Carlos Carrasco exited his start with a lower back injury that now is actually not even a concern at all, he's going to make his next start. But since that moment where he got pulled, Mets fans and kind of the pulse of Mets Twitter is mocking trades for starters, dreaming about Luis Castillo, Frankie Montes, all these different guys who could be available at the deadline. Personally, I think I've been pretty steadfast on my belief all year that the Mets don't need any additional starting pitching depth. If you want to talk about a Rich Hill type acquisition from last year, where you give up essentially a nothing prospect to just get a veteran arm and take him off a team that, you know, doesn't really need him, by all means, get some depth. But to trade a top prospect for one of the big three names that are out there, three or four starting pitchers that everyone's going to be coveting, it makes no sense to me. And you look at this weekend, what did the Mets get? They got three quality starts. That's what they got from Taijuan Walker, Chris Bassitt, and David Peterson. And Max Scherzer is on his way. I know that there was hope he'd be back on Sunday. If you listen to me talk, you know, on the show previewing the series, whether it was my show with Jordan Grossman on Friday, or if you listen to the Locked On Marlins crossover, I was predicting that Peterson would likely get the nod only because he threw the ball really well against the Marlins. Now, that wasn't the reasoning behind Peterson getting the ball on Sunday. Instead, Max Scherzer did experience a little bit of soreness after his last rehab start. It's not alarming. It's not something that was considered a setback, but it was enough to scare them out of starting him on Sunday and to also, you know, put them in a position where they decided that Scherzer would get another rehab start before getting back on a big league mound, just to be as careful as possible so he can go through his routine one more time and make sure he's good to go. He was talking about kind of juggling the process of pitching and his pitching routine with the rehab process, and he just overdid it a little bit. So he's being very, very cautious. As he said, he can't have a setback, so he's trying to make sure he's right. And I'm pretty confident that when he does come back, that injury will be healed properly, because this is about as professional of a starting pitcher who's been doing this job longer than almost anyone in the game right now. I trust that he knows his body. So you're going to get Scherzer back soon. You hopefully can get DeGrom back by the All-Star break. And the guys that you have are doing great. You saw what David Peterson did. To me, why give up Ronnie Mauricio to bump a David Peterson from the rotation? Why do it? I mean, you look at what he did. He gives up a leadoff double to the wrong guy in John Birdie, because John Birdie has great speed. He was able to get to third on a ground out. He scored on a sac fly. That was the first run that Peterson allowed. He then gives up a single, but gets a strikeout to end that inning and proceeds to strike out five batters in a row. In the bottom of the third, he gave up a home run. And so at that point, you know, that tied the game, because the Mets had scored two in the top half. Brandon Nimmo homered, and you had a pair of doubles by Starling Marte and Pete Alonso. So the game was tied at 2-2, and Peterson kept it there. And you look, and really, he deserved a win in this game. The Mets were uncharacteristically bad with runners in scoring position. They've been great in those spots all year, so you don't freak out because of one game where they didn't have it, but they went 1-for-13, and that's why they lost the game. It's that simple. It's not Adam Ottavino, and we'll talk about him. It's certainly not Peterson, who was great. It's the lack of clutch hitting. But the Mets had more opportunities than the Marlins. They just didn't cash in, and the Marlins had last ups, and you know, they hit a home run late, and they won it. But you look at David Peterson in particular, what he's done this season. You know, here it was today, 7 innings, 4 hits allowed, no walks, 8 strikeouts. He has a 3.10 ERA in the season. He's now thrown over 50 innings. So you're getting a very reasonable sample size of this guy being an effective pitcher. He's given up 4 earned runs twice this year, given up 3 earned runs once. And that's the 3 worst outings he's had. Other than that, you're talking about 11 appearances, 8 of them given up 2 earned runs or less, 6 of them 1 earned run or less. He's been really, really solid. And when he has been bad, he hasn't been 8 runs allowed bad. You know, he hasn't been Steven Matz getting rocked and giving up 9 runs to the Phillies with only getting 1 out. He hasn't been like that. He's been still going out, giving the Mets length. I mean, not, you know, 6, 7, 8 innings of length, but he's given them 5 innings and 5 really good innings. And here he was giving them 7 in this start. So I think David Peterson, if he has to stay in the rotation for the remainder of the season, I really don't have a problem with it. I don't. And the fact that you have these other options coming back into the mix with DeGrom and Scherzer that would push Peterson out of the rotation anyway, suddenly your depth is fine again too. So I got no problem with the Mets starter depth right now. I really don't. The bullpen's a different question. Now Adam Ottavino gives up a walk-off homer to Nick Fortes. We're going to talk about the bullpen as a whole in just a minute. I mean, that was obviously a tough pill to swallow at the end of a pretty good weekend. But to me personally, watching the Mets, here's another series victory. They continue to just do what they're supposed to. And I am at a point now where the one loss in a series doesn't bug me too much, because you just know that that's a natural part of the ebbs and flows of a season. A team like the Marlins is going to get you sometimes. And they got him in the ninth inning because the Mets had only scored two runs in the game. But we're going to talk about the Mets bullpen. Who else do you trust? I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball, the NHL playoffs, and more. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to esports and scores. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way. Check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, the way I always like to kind of gauge how good a bullpen is to really break it down into rings of trust. You have the Edwin Diaz, locked in ring of trust right now, where you have complete faith in him going out and getting the save in any spot. He's been that good this year. You then have that next ring of trust, right? The guys that are in high leverage spots that for the most part have been good this season. And right now you're talking about Drew Smith, Adam Ottavino, and Seth Lugo. And we'll dive into the numbers in a little bit, because I know there's a Mets fan who heard each one of those names and remembered the moment when Drew Smith gave up that home run, when Adam Ottavino on Sunday gave up the walk-off, when Seth Lugo has had his fair share of bad outings this year. Trust me, I understand. These guys aren't perfect. But the large sample, they have been pretty damn solid this year. Now, beyond that, you got Joely Rodriguez. He is in this weird limbo phase where he's kind of the lefty reliever you trust to get the big lefties out, but you don't actually trust him. You got Tommy Hunter, who is closer to the ring of trust right now than Joely is, but he's more filling this 4 to 6 out role. Obviously, he'll go out and get an inning of relief, but I think where the Mets view Hunter is kind of in the same place where they've had Chase and Shreve this year. Guys that can get big outs for you when you absolutely need them to, but I don't think they're going to get called on in most of those high leverage spots. Instead, I see them more as guys that come into a game when you're down by two and try to hold a lead for two innings, get you 6 outs. That's where I see both of them. And Shreve, we'll go through the numbers in a minute on him too, has not been good this year. You got Adonis Medina right now. He's currently the long man because Trevor Williams is in the rotation. When you get whole again, Williams has been really good in that long man role. And there's always, of course, that 4A type arm that's juggled up and down. And this year, Medina has gotten a lot of those opportunities. Colin Holderman's on rehab, and he is the one guy that is an interesting X factor here because his numbers have been really good this year. 3.18 ERA, 14 strikeouts and 11 in the third. Really seemed to earn trust quickly from Buck Showalter, a guy that I think Buck really likes. So I could actually see him getting some high leverage opportunities, but I also could see, if the Mets bullpen gets whole again, him also being in that limbo up and down, just because you eventually run out of spots. But the way he's pitched this year, I think he's deserved some more opportunities for sure. Then you got Trevor May, who is beginning bullpens now, will soon face live hitters. You could have him back in July. And obviously Trevor May, if you get the guy from last year, he was, arguably your third best reliever behind Aaron Loop and Edwin Diaz in 2021. So May coming back could be big for this team. You look at the problems right now, to me, I think the one area, the more I look at this, if the Mets can find a dynamic left-handed reliever, and I don't know the name just yet, I have to do some digging on that, but if they can find a really good left-handed reliever and they can simply replace Chase and Shreve and Joely Rodriguez with one really good guy and you get May back, I think the Mets bullpen could be okay. But you look at the numbers this year, and I hate to at all campaign for Chase and Shreve to get DFA'd, but we move with the information. As much as I think Shreve has a great splitter, I think Shreve can be a very effective reliever. He has a 5.61 ERA this year. The numbers are the numbers. Julio Rodriguez, a 4.76 ERA. Lefties are hitting 294 against Jason Shreve. So that's not necessarily what you want from a left-handed reliever who's going to be asked to get some outs against big lefties. Joely, that's supposed to be his job. His batting average against is at 233, not as bad. But both of them, when you look at the whip, you know, walks, hits, over innings pitched, at 1.4, each of them giving up about, you know, a runner and a half per appearance against a left-handed batter. I mean, that's just how that would break down over nine innings, essentially. But the point being, or their average per inning over nine, but still, the point being, Joely and Shreve, both of them have struggled against lefties. Really, the best I think the Mets have had this year outside of Edwin Diaz, who's just great against everyone, is Seth Lugo. He's been very solid against left-handers. So we'll see here. But I look at the Mets bullpen right now, and let's just say they land some elite left-handed reliever. Maybe it's Andrew Chafin. I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there. Haven't, like I said, I'll do some digging on this. Maybe we'll talk about this on tomorrow's show. So some trade targets the Mets could have to fortify their bullpen. Now, you know what? I just decided it. That's tomorrow's show. We'll talk about it a little more then. I'll do some digging on that. But if you have this bullpen, my question is this enough? Let's just insert whatever lefty that you trust. Edwin Diaz said lefty. And then Drew Smith, Adam Ottavino, Seth Lugo, and Trevor May. As a six, is that good enough? Because if you're talking about a playoff bullpen, you're likely looking at, you know, those six arms, and then maybe whether it is a Trevor Williams of the long man, or if it's a Tyler McGill, maybe it's a David Peterson. It could be any of those guys who could grab those last couple spots. I think some starters are going to crack your postseason bullpen. So that's the question here. And really, I think if you're kind of removing May from the equation because his numbers are bad and he's been hurt, so we're just kind of out of mind with him. You look at the three that have been doing the job this year. Seth Lugo has not allowed a run in 22 of his 28 relief appearances. So 79% of the time, Lugo's been called on. He has not given up any runs. But when he does give up runs in the other six appearances, he's given up two runs apiece each time. So his stats are a little bit worse because when he's been bad, he's just hasn't had it at all. And I think that's the thing with Seth Lugo is it's either there for him or it's not. And he's not quite the pitcher that is able to get outs when he doesn't have it. Drew Smith has a 1.99 ERA in the season. Now, he did not give up a run until May 13th. So you look at his numbers since then, 3.44 ERA, a little bit more telling of who he's been recently, but that's still a solid reliever. And you look at the composite of everything, 24 of his 29 outings, he has had scoreless appearances, 83% of the time. It's really good. Then you got Adam Ottavino. And you look at him this season, from May 8th until today when he gave up that home run, Adam Ottavino had pitched to a 0.50 ERA across 18 innings pitched. His walks were down to 2.5 per nine during that span, strikeouts at nine per nine. And you look at the advanced metrics on this guy, and he's unbelievable. I mean, advanced metrics tell us that he's one of the most unhittable relievers in baseball right now. Average exit velocity against in the 99th percentile. You know, hard hit percentage, 96th percentile, expected WOBA, 95th percentile, expected ERA, 95th percentile, expected batting average, 94th. It's a lot of red bubbles if you are one to go to Baseball Savant. But you look at the breakdown of his pitches and his slider he's using, as always, as his primary weapon, 44.8% of the time. It's got a whiff rate this year at 36.9%, and batters are hitting 120 against it, with a 140 slugging percentage, only one extra base hit on his slider this season. Dominant stuff. I was caught between dominant and dynamic on that, if you heard the mispronunciation there. You look at his other pitches, though, his sinker and his fastball get hit pretty well. 304 average against the sinker, 348 slugging, so they're not slugging too much on it. The fastball, 375 average. 938 slugging, both the home runs he's given up this year. I'm not even sure if that is including the one today, a double and a triple all on the fastball. But this slider is the main weapon. That's what you are expecting from Adam Ottavino. And the fact that his strikeout rate is in the 89th percentile is solid. His walk rate's in the 39th percentile. He always walks a lot of batters, but compare this year to years past. Last season, he had a walk rate of 13%. It's been in double digits every year for his past five seasons prior to this one, where it's at 8.8. So the walks are down. His ERA is solid at 2.60. The expected ERA is at 2.38 in the top 5% of the league. He's been really solid. And so I think when we're talking about the Mets bullpen right now, I do believe that you can trust Adam Ottavino if he keeps pitching like this. I think to a certain extent, on most days, you can trust Drew Smith and Seth Lugo. Trevor May, we'll see what he looks like. But there is one thing missing. I do think that you still need one arm. And I don't really care if it's a left-hander. I think a lefty would make sense. But just get one arm that's as good at or not as good as Edwin Diaz, because it's hard to say that. But another guy that you can trust along with Edwin Diaz to close a game. And that's just not something they have yet. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll try to give you some names of guys that could be signed. I'll also preview the upcoming two-game set against the Houston Astros at Citi Field as they try to get some revenge after getting swept in a two-game set in Houston last week. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB. Sully's got you covered with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.